I got injured in December of 2020.
I saw that video on Pornhub. Another announcement I want to make. I've committed just for the year of 2023 to not be gay.
That's for the year.
I'm not going to be gay. How great would it be if I'm saying all this right now, and then you find out tomorrow I killed myself in my hotel room. Like, I hung myself right off the balcony.
Fuck.
Johnny is like 100% like Nadav gay. Gay, super gay, gay, gay. Like, gay, you know gay. It. As soon as you see it, you were like, that guy's got cum dripping out of his ass.
100%.
He's back. I mean, you really at this point don't need an introduction, but we'll just go ahead and say it. The Right Intention, Wrong Move Tour is going. You can get tickets right now at chrisdcomedy.com. Give it up for Chris DiStefano, everybody.
Hello.
In the house.
What's up, everybody?
Good
What's
to see you.
Tom?
Yeah.
First of all, I just want to start by telling you, I know we got, you know, the glasses on. I will get to it. I've gone completely insane.
I mean,
I've completely lost my mind. It's a different thing. What's going on with
looks
me?
Looks like the kid's been making money is I mean, what it dude, looks like. Looks yeah. like you served time.
Yeah.
But when you got out, there was a bag waiting for
yeah.
you. Yeah.
I almost, literally, you just had David Cross on, and I'm such a big David Cross fan, and I almost walked up and went, what's up, Jew boy? Like, because with these Jesus. Glasses on, it's just what happens.
Yeah.
You know, like you just think you can get away with anything. And but I want to tell you first of all, I haven't seen you in a while. You look fantastic.
Oh, thanks,
okay?
man.
Okay, dude, fucking Tommy Tess is my favorite Tommy. I literally love, dude, testosterone.
No, look at that. This thing is too big, man.
Bro, you look great. You really look great. And I want to get into it right away.
Yes.
I want to say that September 22nd, I'm doing Radio City
September. Musical.
I mean, in New York, Radio City. So you can get
that's the big time,
that's
especially
the big one.
For a New York kid.
For
Come
a New
on.
York kid, it's all about you do Radio City.
You don't make shit, but it's the prestige play.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Who wants to sell 5,500 tickets and not really get paid? You do Radio City Music
Radio
Hall.
Radio City Music Hall. And, yeah. and with all the free tickets I have to give away to my family and friends, I'm going to lose money, actually.
Oh, you're
going to
lose
show.
Money. Yeah.
But I don't care. It's an honor. It's like the thing to do because
yeah.
it's all like the goals to MSG. And I want to say thank you to you, because I genuinely mean this. I said this the last time. My fan base has started to increase and my ticket sales increase after I've started coming on your show. And now I know there's always some, like there's groups of people in my show that I know, you know, the only way they can come is by sticking pencil lead in their dick.
Yeah.
And I know that they're your fans. And and because of that, I got you a gift.
Oh, shit.
I wanted you to fucking know
wow.
that I'm about it. I got you a gift.
Whoa, get out of here. Holy shit.
Look at that, baby.
Man, I don't know if you guys can see this.
I don't know if you
can
see that, but it
this
says...
This is a framed Garth Brooks card.
Yep.
Where he's wearing a Royals uniform.
Yep.
He looks big here.
He looks big, dude. He looks like 2014 Tom Segura.
Yeah. he is. It says 300 bodies, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah, baby.
Thank you. This is going on the wall.
Oh, dude. Well, that's for you because I appreciate
you.
It. So,
well, you know, we're genuinely, I mean, we say that, you know, you say this to people, we're genuinely huge fans of yours. And like, you make me laugh. Like, no other. I mean, I remember not long ago you were on Kimmel and your post said, watch me bomb on Kimmel.
yeah.
Even
yeah.
that shit makes me laugh.
Yeah.
But, and yeah, dude, wait, by the way, you think I look good now? 6 months from now?
Dude.
You're not going to, I mean, like real, like dude. You're going to feel a sexual.
First of all, I feel it now.
Right.
The
but
thing
gonna...
is with me is I feel it now, but I've committed, another announcement I want to make, I've committed just for the year of 2023 to not be gay.
That's for the year.
I'm not going to be gay. Because, I mean, you know, I drunk texted you the other night.
Yeah, you did.
Remember that?
Yeah, pull it up.
Can I read it out?
Okay.
yeah. Yeah, and
did?
I can read it on air. It's no
like,
problem.
Go ahead. I was
all
like,
right.
the fuck am I?
Out of nowhere, I texted Tom because I got blitzed. I said, I'm coming on your show in late February and legit going to Eskimo kiss your belly button, call myself a faggot on FaceTime with Nadav, so get ready. I woke up the next morning and I said, dude, I have no recollection of sending this text to you. I was on 5 tequilas in Cleveland, but I stand by what I said and I will follow through.
That was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm not, I don't know where Nadav is.
He is in rehab right now.
Is he?
For gambling. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got him hogtied in my hotel room. Dude, he's I mean, these glasses, this will put a gambler back into gambling.
That actually, that's the first thing I think. I think of, you know, used to really shine shoes. You used to do a good job. You shine, you can see your fucking, there's like a mirror when you look in those shoes. You look like that guy. You look like the guy who's also like, it's $6,000 and it's due today.
It's, do you like them though? Should I commit to this? What are we thinking?
Oh, man. I mean, is it on stage too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a fucking. Yeah. That is a leap, man.
Dude,
so like, take me back to when these first came. Like, what led to these?
So it's my guy Anthony Aiden, Optical down in Manhattan, St. Mark's Avenue.
Only New Yorkers give a plug.
Dude, Anthony Aiden.
You're like, my shoes is fucking Tony Stops.
Anthony Aiden. Dude, he's also an MMA guy, so he's fucking the only guy I'll sell you glasses with cauliflower ear.
Holy shit.
This guy, absolutely. I saw Robert Kelly, the great Robert.
He's a big glasses. He had glasses on. That was that from him?
That's from Anthony Aiden.
Okay, so Kelly also messaged me. He's like, because I told him, I was like, these are cool glasses. He sent me a link. He's like, this is the guy.
Yeah, no, Anthony, that's the guy. He's awesome. Got me these frames, and they're like these 1980s frames. I go on stage, you know, they call me Chrissy Dahmer now. They're Jeffrey Dahmer vibes.
Oh shit, I didn't think of that.
A little bit. But it's become a look. My family hates it. My mother hates it.
What about your lady?
Lady does not like it.
She
thinks it's too much of a douche vibe. You know, she's like, you got a watch on. You got glasses. Who are you?
What are you wearing on the wrist there?
AP Royal Oak.
You got a fucking Royal Oak.
I don't give a fuck.
Holy shit.
I've lost my mind.
Holy shit.
Tom, I don't care.
Big flex.
I don't give a fuck. And I'm, by the way, I'm intermittent fasting. So I'm only sucking cock in my fasting window.
You look really good.
You
look really good.
I appreciate it, man.
So what are you down? How much are you down?
35, baby.
35 lbs?
35.
So you're down 35.
Yeah.
You got the new don't fuck with me glasses on.
Yep.
An AP Royal Oak on the wrist.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, dude.
What's going on?
I have cancer.
Okay.
That's what it is.
And are we going to keep going? Are you going to keep going down on weight?
Okay, so here's the thing. So I had a goal. I said on my podcast, on Chrissy Kanz, I said, if I don't get down, the goal is 205 pounds. I said, if I don't get down to 205 pounds by June 5th of this year, I was going to cut off the tip of my pinky. I said I would cut it off on the Patreon.
By which day?
Yeah, by June 5th. I'm
June
sorry.
5th. Okay.
I would cut off the tip of my pinky. But now I've got, I went on, it was March of, I'm sorry, it was August of 2022, my birthday, and I was 255 pounds.
Were you really?
Yeah, and I was wearing, you know, T.T. Jerry, you know, in my life, T.T. Jerry, my girlfriend's transgender uncle, lives with us, Google T.T. Jerry. She wears all different kinds of wigs. So I was fucking around on my birthday, and I put on one of her wigs, and I got on the scale, and I weighed 255 pounds, and I said, I look like a fat Howard Stern.
And you know what I think about T.T. also? I bet T.T.'s real honest about how you're looking. Like when you're 255, she's like, it don't look good.
It don't. You know? No, she was honest with me. And you know what she said about these glasses? Because, you know, like she served 20 years in prison.
Yeah.
She was like, I sucked a lot of motherfuckers' dicks in prison that wore those glasses. She was like, the mafia don't want to tell you, but they all love getting their dicks sucked by me.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
I believe you.
But so now I'm down to about 215 to 217. But I think that if 205 might be a little much because I want to stay strong.
Well, here's the thing. A couple things about it. I mean, this is in my experience, people get married to the number, and you know what I mean? We get obsessed on the number.
Right.
It's really not about the number. It's your body composition at numbers. There's some people that carry 210, 215, and they're like,
yeah,
that's perfect for them. Other people, based on their body composition, their frame, 185 is like their per. So if you just go like, no, it's this number, you can get to that number and it's not the right one. I mean, you look great right now, dude.
Thank you.
You look great.
I feel, I will say, I'm 215 now. I have a before and after. I have a picture of me at 215 not in shape and 215 in shape. And it's like,
difference.
It's radically different. I'll show it to you. Yeah. It's like, whoa, like, you know, one of my tits are pointing this way.
Yeah.
And the other one, it's like, here's the thing too, though. What I've had to get over is, you know, these fitness people that we follow to like get it, you're never going to look like them. Like they have committed a life to it. I don't like, you look great now, but it's like, do we have six pack abs?
No. And like there is a level that you're like, what, here's what you realize. If you want to, if you go that guy, can I look like him? The truth is you can, you can look like him. It becomes a matter of choices.
Right.
That you're like, are you willing to make the choices to do that? And based on like your lifestyle and what you enjoy and what you do, how you travel, it's like you're probably not going to agree to do those things.
Right.
But you can still look great and be happy.
Right.
Right. But you have to at least go, there are choices that I'm willing to make and ones that I'm not.
Yeah. And I think too, when you get that in shape, those guys who do that, like I said, they dedicate their life to it. They don't have a personality because
some of them don't.
Because it don't. I mean, you talk to some of these guys, they're great, but like I've messaged some of them, like, this guy's a retard. But that's why he's so strong and good. And so you can, but to have a personality, you need to get out of the gym and talk. You know, they're just talking to their protein shakes. You can't do that.
There's a level of like, there's levels to this shit, like anything.
Like, yeah.
And with fitness, that's what you find when you start. Like, I've gotten way more into it in the last year.
Yeah.
And then what I find is like, I'm at a certain level and when you make a certain commitment, that's when you realize, oh,
yeah,
there's the people doing this much more and this much more. And then there's the people who are doing that much less than you. And you have to pick a tier that you're comfortable living in.
Right.
The thing you don't want to do is leave the tier, like go like, I'm out.
Right.
Because that's when shit falls apart. You know, you have to have some level of commitment.
I was thinking about this today. I don't know who's had a better glow up than you, from what you used to look like to now. The only person I can think of that looks better and that's like had a better glow up, that's went from like, oh my God, to just gorgeous, is Elliot Page. That's one of the, is now Elliot Page looks great.
Yeah.
And yeah, see,
he looks awesome.
Yeah. So that's it. But other than, I mean, when you look like, you know, when sometimes you're on the Netflix and, you know, old Tom Segura pops up.
Oh, I know.
It's like,
dude, it happens to me too. And I also, you know what, the one that actually happens to me, this shows you the shame involved in this shit too.
Yeah.
People will sometimes tag me in a photo. And you could tell there's like a they're like, oh my God, can't believe you're coming back to, you know, Minneapolis.
Right.
I met you there in, you know, 2014, and they post a picture of us together.
Right.
And I look at myself in the photo and I'll be like, fuck. Like, I'll be like, this looks so bad.
Right.
That they're like, this was a great night. It's like a happy post.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't even want to like acknowledge this.
But you at that time probably didn't think anything. You were like, I'm happy.
I did not acknowledge. I it's a level of delusion. I'll tell you the real truth, man. Last year, I didn't realize that it was happening to me again.
You were getting big again?
So this is what happened. When I got injured, in December of 2020.
Right. I saw that video on Pornhub.
And when I left the hospital, one of the things people told me was they're like, you know, I was a big dude when I got hurt. I was 245, 247.
Okay.
And I get injured. And then everyone's like, you know, like literally you can't move. Like they're telling me like, you know, you're not gonna be able to move. Mm-hmm. So what I started to do when I got out of the hospital and I'm home and I can't move is I started to eat really clean and really reduced portions. And I started to lose weight, but I was losing at the muscle and fat. Like the muscle that I did have
was gone
because I wasn't doing any exercise.
Right.
And I was losing fat, but I was just eating like pretty clean every day.
Right.
When I finally became mobile again, I had lost all this weight, but I had lost muscle and fat.
Yeah.
So then I start to get active again. I started to go, I want to get active. I started lifting weights, light, doing stuff, eating. I start putting on both. And then my tour gets crazy. I'm bringing a trainer on the road, but I start to get, I didn't get lazy with lifting, but I got lazy with diet again.
Right.
And it was last April. I had a 12 days off and I went to LA and I shot this project. And when I was leaving there, I remember somebody going, they said, keep, cause they were telling me, they're like, you look good. Like, you know, cause I'd started to lift again.
Yeah.
And they keep going with the lifting and the diet. And the way that I heard it, it wasn't like, you look great. Like I'm telling you now, you look great. They were like, get back. To me, it sounded like they're like, you need to get back.
Don't forget about the diet.
Don't forget.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't forget because you're kind of on the line right now.
Right.
And I was like, That's how I swear. I thought they meant it that way, and at least that's how I heard it. And when I got home, I realized that like I got on the scale and I had gotten up to like 238 again. And a few months prior, I was like 220. I was like, how did this?
Well,
from that day, when I got home, I readjusted workouts and diet, and then it has just been a steady decline.
What do you weigh now?
199 this morning.
Wow.
Yeah.
So is that the goal? Was the goal to be under two?
Well, I try not to obsess. It's like I was telling you, it's about body composition. It's right. I don't know what my end, where I'll feel like this is the great weight to carry around. I feel pretty good now. I definitely feel like I could definitely do more. Like,
I feel like you're saying that, but if like 2 days from now you were 201, you'd be looking in the mirror like, way to go, fatty.
Oh, I think you're right.
Yeah, like just crying, fat fuck.
But I definitely want to be leaner.
No, well, this is the best I've ever seen you look. I remember, I don't know if you remember this, I think you were doing like the Beacon and the Hulu Theater in New York, and I randomly saw you outside a coffee shop. You were leaving your hotel, and I randomly saw you.
That was last year, dude.
And you looked like, dude, you had on this jacket, and I was like, wow. I remember seeing, I was like, first impression, I was like, dude, Tom looks like this, right?
Yeah.
And then I was talking to you, because you were coming out, and we were talking for about 40 seconds, you were on your next thing, going off to your next thing, and then I saw you pull a muffin out of your pocket.
Yeah.
I said, he's hiding his tits.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
That's 1 month before the conversation I'm telling you.
This is what I'm saying. So you look jacked, but you pulled a muffin out of the pocket. So that's
out of the pocket.
Out of the pocket, which I know, listen, I've been there before. I said, this is what happens.
Yeah.
You know, Tom, but you look good, but now it's undeniable. And I think too, what happens is what I've given up on. Not giving up, but I've just let go. I said, I just want to be healthy now. Like, it's about being healthy, and I'm not going day to day.
Was that scale the thing when you saw the 255?
Swear to God, I go on the scale, right?
255.
And we're, by the way, laughing about it with the family. Yeah. Even Jazz, my girl, everybody's laughing. It's fun. We're being silly, you know.
That's the sickness, though. That's the enablers.
Yeah.
And then when you go, I want to lose weight, Jazz and the fam go, you're good. Like, when they start saying that, and you're like, fuck. It's not good.
And then, but what happened was, is that, and it just came over me. It was I never forget, it was my birthday, August 26th. I went in the shower. I was in the shower, just like, you know, rubbing my tits, like just, you know, putting soap deep in my belly button, pulling crumbs out, laughing about fat Howard Stern.
Yeah.
And I started to hysterical cry in the shower.
For real?
I swear to God, uncontrollable, because I was like, I used to be an athlete, and I was like, you have to do something, Chris. And then it's almost like, sometimes I feel like, I don't want to say it's like the universe that tells you something, or like maybe you're just looking, but I was on Twitter that day, maybe 3 hours later, just scrolling mindlessly, and I see Elon Musk tweet, zero fasting app really is good. If you're looking to, and it wasn't a promote, like it wasn't getting paid. He was just like genuinely like, zero intermittent fasting app is pretty good. And I was like, you know what? Just download it. I said, it's your birthday. Just by Christmas, just be in the right direction. And then I started intermittent fasting, eating in most days a 8-hour window, some days a 6-hour window, and kind of not even dieting crazy, like not even like I'll still have pizza. I only have sweets now on Saturday, but back then I was still having sweets here and there, whatever. So I wasn't like, I'm only eating vegan lettuce wraps. It wasn't that. It was just staying in that fasting window.
So that's you're doing a minimum of a 16-hour fast? Is that what it is?
A minimum of 16 hours. So like, you know, like typically my feeding window is like 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., but sometimes it would go from 12 to 6. Or
feeding window sounds like a real pig.
Dude, I know. that's what I am.
Yeah.
I'm a real, I eat out of a trough. And so,
now, and correct me if I'm wrong, but your lady is like a fitness lady.
She's a fitness instructor, and she was like, and because the whole thing with the intermittent fasting, where she was like, look, now, because I have a gym, like, you know, we have a nice gym set up. We turned like my garage basically just into a gym. So I was like, so I have all the equipment right there. And she was like, I'll help you. She was like, you know, get on the spin bike. I was like, I'm not getting on the spin. What am I fucking? I don't need a bike in my ass. I'm not Nadav. So I'm not, that's Nadav stuff. Nadav spins. So is Nadav really in rehab, by the way?
Or gambling is out of control.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Well, listen, my father was a compulsive gambler, so he can talk.
Oh, we got to talk Tampa Tony shit.
Dude, we will talk Tampa. By the way, Tampa Tony also intermittent fasting, dropped 45 pounds. Looks fantastic, but now he has one of those neck pussies.
Yeah.
It turns you on. And so, but he looks great. But this fasting stuff, what I said to myself was, just stay in this eating window. for now, for the first couple of weeks, and try to take a food away a week. But just the first goal is just stay in the window. And what I started to realize was after like drinking, you know, I watched this documentary once. It said the human body can survive 30 days without food.
Yeah.
So this idea that I haven't eaten since, it's ridiculous. It's in your mind.
You know what Mark Bell told me? Mark Bell is a big power lifter, fitness guy.
Yeah.
He's like, when I told him, I was like, yeah, you know, I want to drop weight and everything. He's giving me all this like different advice. And one of the things he says to me, he goes, by the way, you know, when you're hungry and you're like, I need a snack. He's like, what are you, six? He's like, kids, like little kindergartners, they have a snack.
Yeah.
You don't always need a snack.
Right.
If you're hungry and you think I need a snack, just wait.
Yeah.
You're not a little child who's like, it's snack time. And you're like, yeah.
It's true. Yeah. Because and even guy, I got Mark Bell, like a power lifter, he's eating like a lot. And he's probably eating in a smaller window too. He's not eating all day.
He's not pigging out all day.
Right. So I said.
But eating with purpose, right? So it's like knowing I want to get this much protein in. So he's making six eggs.
Right.
But it's eating when it's time to eat.
Yeah.
But eating, not mindlessly eating.
Yeah. So what I did, two things happened critically, like that happened to me, and this is when it's all positive, but this is when the initial insanity started to happen, is with the intermittent fasting, when I made two decisions, two big decisions in like an hour of each other. I said, downloading the Zero Fasting app, you're going to start right now. And then I said, I'm done with social media. I know I need it for my tickets. I know it's like I can't be off it. Like I need to have the presence there. But I said, I'm willing to pay a person to run this for me. And I'm talking about give it up in the sense of I, to this day, do not even have access to my own social media.
Are you serious?
I don't even have the password. I have no idea how to, but that was all by design. I like pressed the nuclear button on him and said, you give the pet, gave it to a friend of mine, my man, Brian Morton, who's a fucking great guy, runs my social media. He's got a haircut like Lancelot, like from the 1600s. You got to see, I've never seen a guy like rock a bob. Like he looks like a medieval painting, but he crushes. And he's a big fan of you. And so he crushes my social media. So he runs it all because I was locked out of my social media. It just happened, got locked out of my Instagram. And there was an initial panic, but then I was like, as a couple of days went by, I was like, wow, like not checking this is like making me feel better. And we got on a call with Instagram to try to get me back into my account because there's all these problems. And I already had hired Brian and we were on this call and the guy says from Instagram, he's like, you know, it's good that you have somebody running your social media. And I was like, yeah, I know. It's like, you know, it's just easier for me, whatever. He goes, no, I mean, it's good. He goes, we are doing studies right now, like psychological studies that are going to be done over the next couple of years for like anybody. The number is only 20,000 followers, what they're finding right now. Anybody who has over 20,000 followers on any social media account, it's not, they said this, it used to be the negative comments, how that will mess with your equilibrium, mess with your balance, you know, mental balance, sure, mess with your spirit, like, you know, negative, you know, we can't handle it. But they're seeing also the positive comments, throws off your ego. You get such these personality and switches that it leads to like this depression, this anxiety, all these mental health issues. And I found that, and he said, this guy said, he was like, you know, this, you'll see like, 50 years from now, people will be like, remember when they used to all be on social media? Like how we look back, like remember when everyone used to smoke cigarettes?
Yeah.
It's the same thing because it's so poisonous for you. And I, to me, it's no coincidence that my whole, like I was able to drop all this weight and change everything and things just.
When you got off of that?
Social media, got it off. And then the weight came off. And then to be honest with you, I was so nervous about ticket sales and all that. And my ticket sales have just been going up because I'm spending more time being creative and spending more time, you know, living my life. And again, social media is important. We live in the world where like, that's the only way to get to the fans. So I do it, but, and I'm writing the bits out, I'm filming the videos, but I'm sending them to my guy. So no, but I made a decision where like, if I don't know you, I won't let a stranger influence me positively or negatively anymore. Like if you say anything, if you think I'm great or you think I suck, it has zero effect on me because I'm like, I don't know you, so I can't put any energy towards it.
That's important, man. I mean, it's important. Yeah. I know a few very successful people with large followings, mm-hmm, that do what you do, have zero access to their own stuff.
Yeah.
And they feel like it's just a time waste.
right?
And they're able to do more. And the real interesting thing is, you know, even before social media, it's this thing that I always thought about as a stand-up where, you know, if somebody tells you you suck,
right?
That feels terrible,
right?
I'm talking about even in person, right? If someone's like, "You fucking suck,"
or right?
Like, you're like, "Damn, that feels good, feels bad." But then you realize that it's also, you also don't want to buy into you're the best,
no,
right? Because that where you really want to stay is somewhere where you realize both extremes are not good or realistic. You're not the worst,
right?
At this or at anything really, and you're not the best.
Yeah,
and if you start buying into either side, it's gonna fuck you up.
Yeah, and I think that's why staying off it. You know, it's another big thing I notice about not being on social media is, you know, I love Teddy Roosevelt. Mm-hmm. I love what he stood for.
Yeah.
I love Teddy Roosevelt. I'm going to put his statues back up. I love Teddy Roosevelt because he had a quote that he may have stolen from the Native Americans, who knows, but he was known for that. And so but he said was comparison is the thief of joy. And I when I read that, I was like, you're right, because I noticed the reason why I've been able to stick with my fitness plan thus far is because I've been off social media. I can't tell you how many times I would get going, lose the initial 5 pounds, be in the gym for the 3 weeks, whatever, and then see somebody on social media who's absolutely shredded, absolutely ripped, doing all these things, and would make me subconsciously, I would compare myself to them.
And you feel
and then
bad.
I would feel bad about myself and say, well, I'm not going to hit my goal anyway. Or same thing with, you know, with my peers in stand-up. You would be like, you know, feel good about a show. Oh, I sold out, da-da-da. And then you're like, oh, so-and-so sold out 7 shows there. Yeah. And then you're happy for them, but you also start to compare, be like, well, I suck, and all that went away. So stop comparing myself to others. But the bigger thing that I noticed, I stopped comparing me to me. I stopped comparing myself to what I was 6 months ago, because subconsciously you'll look at yourself from a few months ago and it's the perfectly crafted picture or video and you forgot all that. And you're like, look at how good I was back then. Look at how great everything was back then. And your mind's playing a trick on you. When I only deal with my life in small increments now, I literally am an hour to hour person.
Yeah.
I'm like, and that's what works for me. How great would it be if I'm saying all this right now, and then you find out tomorrow I killed myself in my hotel room? Like, I hung myself right off the balcony.
Fuck.
I mean, wouldn't that be great?
Well, I mean, honestly, for the podcast, it'd be incredible. It would be the biggest numbers ever.
And then you could take my date at Radio City.
Yeah,
if you want. Just warm up for the garden.
Sure. No problem.
Yeah.
So all that evolution that you're talking about happening, all of that led to you getting these glasses, basically.
Literally, when I walked in, as soon as I walked in, the first thing Anthony Aiden said, he said, somebody's been intermittent fasting. Somebody's been off social media. Somebody's not going to be gay for 2020.
These are in the drawer that I keep these in, and then he just gave them to you.
No, yeah.
Does Tony like them? Because I feel like he would.
Tony like them. Tony, I'll show you. Tony has them. But not these exact ones. Like, my stepmom sent me a picture. She was like, look at your father from back in the day. And he's got these. This is how he used to roll. So the reason why I got them initially is because I'm hosting a show for Vice. It's out now on Vice. It's called a Super Maximum Retro Show. It's about like the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Like,
oh, perfect.
Dude, we pull up videos and stuff. That shit that would have went viral back in the day. You know, but before the internet, like, we're bringing it back, like, crazy commercials, crazy things. Everybody had a full bush. And I was like,
love it.
And Jimmy Kimmel's the executive producer of it. So I was going to do the Jimmy Kimmel show. And I was like, I want to look like a 70s, 80s mobster.
Yeah.
So I came with a turtleneck suit.
Oh, you looked amazing.
Yeah, I came out there and I was like, I need glasses. Like, when you see old pictures of my dad and his friends, they always had shades on. So I was like,
good guys too, right?
Great. Are you kidding me? Great people. And really, really nice guys, fully vaccinated. So I just came out like. And
you look like, you know what you look like? Like when a guy, he did, like when the mobsters would do, like he did 15 years, but then he got a book deal.
Yeah.
And they're making it into a movie.
That's
and they're
me.
Like, and they're like, this guy, he actually whacked like 13 people. Chris DeStefano, everybody. Hey, everybody. I'm a chain, you know, that's, I used to be a different guy.
Yeah. But now I'm a good, that's because like my mother, you know, because my parents got divorced when I was one, but my mother was like, you were so great on Jimmy Kimmel, honey. It was so nice to see you. She's like, but it was very tough for me to watch because you look exactly like what your father used to look like, and I really hate that guy. I was like, I know that guy was, but I said, Mom, that guy was a fun guy. She was like, no, he wasn't. I was like, yeah, he sounded pretty fun.
He was fun right before you didn't like him.
I mean, dude, Tampa Tony, by the way, my pops, shout him out. He's moved. He's also lost 45 pounds.
Is he still in Tampa area?
Tampa, dude. He moved to Tampa in the middle of the pandemic.
And didn't tell you. I remember this, where you were like, "Where are you, Tampa? Like, what are you doing there? I live here."
Yeah,
like,
I live here.
What the fuck are you doing?
Just moved there. Yeah, right when COVID was at its height, and he's been living there ever since. And he said he likes living there because he likes walking in the pool. He's like, you know, Christopher, every day I wake up, I put on my water shoes, and I walk in the pool. And that's what keeps me in shape. I was like, all right, well,
okay.
Dude, he's got water shoes. That my dad's one of the only guys, like he's so obsessed with these water shoes. That guy will have on like a $400 suit with water shoes.
I think I saw this clip on Instagram.
Yeah.
That somebody, I know somebody posted for you.
Yep.
But
Brian Moyne, AKA Lancelot Head.
Lancelot posted the clip of you talking about being out with your dad and you saw Steven Tyler.
Oh my God. That was real.
Dabbing his pizza.
Yeah. So we're at Joe's Pizza in the West Village. Great, you know, some of the best pizza in New York. And my dad, we were going to a Knicks game. So this must have been, I want to say early 2000s, something like that. So we're there, you know, we're hanging out, you know, eating pizza before we go, take the train up to the game. And Steven Tyler walks in. And like everybody knows that's Steven Tyler, like from Aerosmith, Steven Tyler.
Yeah.
And it's New York. So people are like, oh shit. But, you know, nobody's bombarding him. Yeah. It's New York. So we see him and my dad's like, everyone's going crazy over this guy. I was like, yeah, it's Steven Tyler. He's like, I know who it is. What am I, fucking asshole? I was like, kind of. But he was like, I know who it is. I was like, okay. So then Steven gets his pizza. He's with his manager or whatever. And he starts, taking a napkin.
Yeah,
and
it's oily.
Blotting the oil off a pizza.
Yeah.
And my dad goes, this fucking guy. He goes, no way he's from New York if he's napkin blotting the oil off his pizza. I was like, Dad, it doesn't matter. It's like, he'll do what he wants to do. Like, just let's eat the pizza. Let's get to the game. He goes, I got to fucking say something to this guy. I was like, Dad, please don't say anything to Steven Tyler. Like, please don't. Like, literally, like, this, it's not.
Is your anxiety, like,
through the roof. Yeah. I was like, it doesn't matter if he's napkin blonde, the oil off the pizza. Like, let him have cholesterol issues. Who cares?
Yeah.
And my dad goes, I got to say, he's like, it's such disrespect to do that in New York City. So I was like, okay. So my dad finishes the pizza, throws it out, and we're walking past him. I'm like, please don't say anything. And my dad just walks past him. He goes, hey, Bon Jovi. You don't need to napkin blot the oil off your pizza. And then Steve, I swear to God, I turned around and Steven had the slice like this far from his mouth open. Like, did that guy just call me Bon Jovi? And then I was like, Dad, he's from Aerosmith. He was like, same shit. I was like, it's actually not. And then still to this day, I think my dad thinks Steven Tyler is the lead singer of Bon Jovi.
Sure, for sure he does.
But if you showed him a picture and said, no, it's Aerosmith, he'd be like, yeah, it's Bon Jovi. It's fine.
Guy's got the hair. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you the Phil Collins, my dad, Phil Collins story?
No.
Oh, my God. Okay. So.
You did tell me kids got special needs.
Yeah. Special needs. That's Yankee Stadium. Yeah, that one. Yeah, that one. By the way, that I close with that story in my new hour special. And sometimes people be like, you said that story on Segura.
So what?
I'm like, yeah, I said it in a different way. I'm doing it in stand-up format now, you fucking dunce.
Yeah, of course.
But just whatever, you just deal with it. And so, I don't deal with it anymore. Now fucking Brian Medieval Head deals with it.
Sure.
I want to behead him. So, so just watch his dumb hair just flop into a basket. So, Phil Collins, right?
Yeah.
So we're at a Knicks, this was recently, like I want to say maybe 3-4 years ago. We're at a Knicks game on Easter Sunday, okay? So, Easter Sunday, Knicks are not playing well. They're playing against the Philadelphia 76ers, kind of both bottom of the, you know, Eastern Conference at the time. So, you know how it is. You know, you're in New York, you're in entertainment, whatever. You can be on a list. I was very low on the list, but I was on the list to get courtside seats.
Yeah.
Now, it being Easter Sunday, it's like a 1 o'clock game that both teams suck. No real celebrities want to go to this game. So they go all the way down the list and they get to me.
Chrissy D.
They get to Chrissy D. And he calls me, the head of PR calls me at about 11 a.m. The game's at 1. He goes, listen, I got 2 courtside seats. Okay. You know, you could come down, bring a guest, like get here now. They're for you on the court. Great. Call my dad. Because, you know, me and my dad used to go to Knicks games. We'd sit in the upper deck, talk shit about Bon Jovi. Like we we're, you know, we're living a different life now. We don't have these glasses yet, but we're getting close.
We're getting close. We're getting there.
So
you're about 223, 224.
Yeah. I would say about then. Yeah. So call my dad. And I was like, Dad, you know, like Knicks game, whatever. Like, you know, we're going to go like on the court. I said, you know, the guy told me, though, like, it's, you know, it's first time ever down there. Like, there's going to most likely be major celebrities there. So don't say anything. We can't talk to anybody. And you have to like dress kind of nice. Like, you know, it's courtside. And I swear to God, my dad's initial response, he goes, I'll go with you. He goes, but let me tell you something. I'll do whatever the fuck I want to do. Just know that. I was like, okay. So know that. So my dad, I swear, he comes again. He comes, shows up at my door. We didn't live too far from each other back then. He's wearing a Patrick Ewing Knicks jersey with a suit jacket, sweatpants, water shoes. No, no water shoes, but he's wearing a New York Knicks Patrick Ewing jersey with a suit jacket. I was like,
you like a blazer.
Yeah, I was like, you look like a fucking Make-A-Wish. Like you
and sweatpants
and sweat. That's just my dad. He will always wear. If you ever see my dad in a suit jacket, up to, he always has sweats on. And that's just how he rolls. Some of them don't look exact. It's not like they're Bugle Boys, but they are sweatpant material.
Yeah.
And he's wearing his New Balance sneakers because he's like, I got a wide foot. I can't wear shoes. Going shoe shopping with my dad's like, you got a 13 and a half wide? They're like, what? So he's like, I got to keep on the New Balances. I got the diabetes. I got, you know, foot issues.
Yeah.
So he was like, they'll understand. I was like, okay. So I swear. So we get to the game, right? We're walking in, and now we're walking like in, you know, we're walking on down the tunnel where the players walk onto the court.
Yeah.
And it's cool for me. I'm trying to keep it cool. I'm not doing videos.
Coolest.
But it's
the coolest.
It's cool shit. It's New York. I grew up a Knicks fan. Like, this is cool. So, and my dad's like, oh my God, you know, whatever. Have, you know, he's like, this is crazy, you know, like, you know, Maradona, like things like that.
Yeah.
So we get to our seats and my dad goes, unfucking believable. And I go, yeah, this is great. And then a guy's walking by, like a, you know, like a staff member. He goes, can me and my kid two cotton candies for me and my kid? And the guy was like, oh, I'm sorry, sir. I work for the team. I can get somebody over. I was like, we don't need cotton candy. I'm not a special needs retarded kid. I don't need cotton candy at all. I know I look like we're from a group home right now, but yeah. I don't need cotton candy. And then he swears, says to the guy, goes, all right, no cotton candy. He goes, but maybe the player, you know, can sign, get a signed ball for my kid. He goes, maybe John Starks or somebody. I was like, John Starks hasn't played for the Knicks since 97. What are you talking about? And then I was like, Dad.
22-year-old?
Yeah, I swear to God. I said, Dad, I said, I love you, but just please stop. He goes, I want you to have a good time. Like, because that's all my dad. That's why I call my comedy special Right Intention, Wrong Move. Because my dad just always, his intention is like, I love you, son.
Yeah.
I want you to have a good time. But the moves were always wrong.
Sure.
And so we're sitting there, you know, the game's going on. The game hasn't started yet. And my dad, I'm, you know, looking around, kind of just taking it all in. It's amazing. See Fat Joe across. I'm like, wow, this is fucking crazy. And so all of a sudden my dad goes, I hear my dad. He goes, Chris, take a picture of my foot. I was like, what? I looked down. He had taken his shoe. I swear to Christ, his shoe and sock off. And he had his bare foot on the court. He goes, your stepmother's never going to believe it. Barefoot on the floor. I was like, Dad, please, 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 please put your shoe back on. With that, a staff member is walking across the court from a different guy. He goes, sir, we do have a no barefoot policy. You have to put your shoe and sock back on. I said, have you ever seen anyone courtside take their shoe and sock off? He goes, I haven't. He just kept walking. But I took a picture of his foot on the court. I was like, Dad, like, you got to stop. He goes, it's just, you know, I told your stepmother that, you know, I got my feet on the floor. I was like, yeah, you can put it on with a sneaker.
Yeah.
So now the game's going on. My dad's talking shit, you know. He's yelling at the ref, you know. He's like, oh, should I trip one of the other players? Should I trip one of the Sixers? I was like, no, Dad, we'll be arrested.
Yeah.
Like, we're not at my CYO Little League basketball games here.
Yeah.
Where my dad used to get thrown out. My dad used to get thrown out of those games all the time. Like, we're sitting, like, at MSG. So, you know, again, it's like celebrity row. But again, you know, there were people there. I got in at the low end, but there were so few celebrities there because it's Easter Sunday that they just had to get, you know, it's MSG. They want to put celebrities up on the Jumbotron. That's how it goes, right? I'm not expecting at all. Why would I ever be included? No, it's nobody knows. Nobody cares.
Sure.
I get it. I get my place in this. I get it. So all of a sudden, we tell my dad not to talk to anyone, right? He knows. And then he's having conversation with a guy next to him. And I don't even look at who it is, but he's just carrying on. All of a sudden, my dad has a bag of candy. He goes, you want some Easter candy? It's from my friend. I was like, what? So I was like, okay. So I take out like a Cadbury Easter egg, eating it, give the bag back. Still don't even look at who it is. With that, there's a timeout. Camera crew comes over to put the man my father was talking to up on the Jumbotron. It was Phil Collins.
Whoa.
My dad was sharing Easter candy with Phil Collins. Chatting it up, talking up a storm. I have no idea. They put up Phil Collins. They, played in the air tonight. Do-douche, do-douche, yeah. Do-douche. Like the big thing. Crowd goes ballistic. It's Phil Collins. I mean, they were standing up like this, ballistic, crazy. The lights, I've never seen this. The lights went down when they put him up. Like it was a concert. Like it was like, oh, Phil Collins, huge, crazy. My dad's going, Philly, like that. Like it's, I swear, like they're friends. Like yeah. That's how, when
it's
you
my
meet
boy.
My
I came with him.
No, when you meet my father, it's an impression that like everybody loves my dad, right? Yeah. So, great, Phil Collins. I was like, oh, it's pretty cool. Now I'm like, oh my, it's pretty cool. Like Phil Collins yeah. is sharing Easter egg with candy. I'm shaking his hand. Wow, Phil, whatever. Lights go back on, There's timeout still. It's a full timeout. So there's still a couple of, 20 seconds left. I'm looking down. I actually was texting my girl being like, my dad's like Phil Collins. Like, this is sick, whatever. I see the camera crew walk and I see them stop in front of me. Their feet and the wires from the camera stop in front of me. And I look up. I was like, yes. They were like, Chris DeStefano. I was like, Chris DeStefano. They're like, you're next. I was like, what are you talking about? They're like, you're on the Jumbotron. I was like, after Phil Collins? No, I don't want to go on the Jumbotron. No. I was like, no, I don't want to go. And I have it up on Instagram. The first couple of seconds, because I just didn't know, I'm going like this, like waving it off. And they have Chris DeStefano, whatever it was, fucking MTV dick code, whatever dumb shit, nothing to promote. And I swear to Christ, it was 18,000 people cheering like they just saw Jesus. 18,000 people, pin drop silence.
Nothing.
I swear to Christ, I heard somebody, 50 rows back go, who the fuck is that? All I felt is I swear to Christ. And then I feel a hand just rubbing my back slowly. It's my dad. And he just goes, you can see him slightly coming to frame. He goes, it's all going to be okay. It'll be over soon. Just rubbing my back. And then I swear to Christ, with that bomb, sweat dripping down my back, I see another hand. It's Phil Collins with a bag of Easter candy.
Oh, my God.
Phil just gives me a bag of candy like that.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. And it was one of those things where it was so embarrassing. Yes. It was so...
I feel it. I feel it for you.
Dude, it was the worst thing ever. And then I said to Phil Collins, I was like, has that ever happened to you like that? He was like, not that I recall. No. No, it hasn't. But he said, you shake it off. And he was like, the good thing is people always forget. Yeah. They always forget. I was like, they don't forget you. He goes, yeah, well, not me.
Oh, is this
there
it is.
Yeah. Yeah. That was it. That was it. That was the moment.
Oh,
and that
God.
Was my face after the bomb. That's what I look like.
Yeah. Just, you're like
I got punched in the dick. Yeah. That was so.
I had not the same experience as you, but a little bit where it was when you saw me. That week you saw me.
Okay.
So
in New York.
I'm doing a bunch
Tommy
of
Muffin
shows.
Pockets.
I'm doing Tommy Muffins. I'm doing Beacon, Hulu.
Unbelievable.
Long Island, Kings in Brooklyn, and New Jersey.
Yeah, you sold like 40,000 tickets in New York.
It's just spread out, right?
Yeah.
So because I'm doing the Hulu, I get the call from my agent. And he goes, you want to go to the Knicks game courtside? And I go, fuck yes.
I love
the NBA. I go, this would be awesome, man.
Yeah.
So I get there. Same experience. We're in the tunnel. I'm like, man, this is awesome. And, taking pictures. I'm trying to take it all in. I'm like really enjoying it. Sit down. I sit next to Liv Schreiber and his family. He's
right.
His wife and kids.
Right.
And he's real New York,
Very
New
York guy.
He's got the New York hat on and, beautiful family. They're sitting to my right. And I'm just sitting here talking to my, and it's not a big game, It's who the Knicks playing. I forget who they're playing, but we're
at the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Something like that.
Yeah.
This was unbelievable. I'm just being lazy. I have a Diet Coke that's in a plastic cup between my feet. And every once in a while, I'm recording some stuff.
Sure.
So I'm just being a fan,
Yeah.
Record myself doing just regular dipshit stuff. And at one point, I take my phone, and I butter it like this, and I drop it into the Diet Coke. And the Diet Coke spills out onto the floor, and I feel a level of panic that I cannot describe, because it's as it's spilling out, there's the line that you know is the out of bounds, and it's creeping towards that. So I think it's about to go onto the court.
Game is being played.
Active game.
Wow.
And I'm seeing it grow, and I'm like, and I don't know what to do. I'm like, hey, I'm like, Andrew, and I grab him. I'm like, look at my shit. He's like, oh fuck. And I'm like, and I call an attendant over.
Yeah.
And I go, look at this shit. And he's like, well, he's like, I can't clean it right now. I gotta clean it during a break. And I go, what if it gets on the court? He goes, if it gets on the court, the ref will stop the game. And they will clean it. And I was like, oh fuck, dude. I go, get your ass over here right away. So I go, get towels right now. So he runs away. And the whole time I'm just like, I mean, I don't know what's happening in the game. I'm just in a panic. And all I can imagine is that there's just gonna be cameras going like, doom, like,
yeah,
on me, and they're like, look at dipshit drop, like show me in slow-mo dropping it,
yeah,
going in there, and then there being a delay.
Oh my.
And then I'm picturing a player coming and be like, the fuck is this shit?
Yeah.
You know, or slipping,
yeah,
right in front of me. And I just, and then finally it's like a foul whistle, and I look at the guy, and he's like, and they come over, clean it all up, and it had just stopped right. So they didn't have to stop play because
right,
it stopped right before the court started. The level of panic that I felt.
Yeah, because you're like, because you would know that it's all your fault.
All my fault. And yeah, I imagined it in my head, it had been captured like by,
oh yeah,
you know.
No, that was the promo. They're like, come see Tom at the Hulu Theater as you're cleaning up the soda with a towel.
And I actually had a little bit, like when you're talking about, I had panic about the Jumbotron.
Yeah.
Because they did put a couple people up. I don't remember who they put up, but there was celebrities at the game. And I remember going, I don't want to be on that.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to hear.
It doesn't feel good.
Right. I was like, I go, because that's what will happen. They'll be like, who the fuck is he?
Well, that's the interesting and beautiful part about, let's say, a career like yours. Like, you'll sell literally 30, 40,000 tickets in a city. Easy, no problem, do MSG, whatever. And then, but because we all have such specific fan bases,
yeah,
you still have that anonymity,
yeah,
which
you,
like, you might be able to, not obviously walking outside your show would be crazy, but you might be able to be three blocks away from the Garden, you have it sold out, and not one person says anything to you.
Especially in a city, yeah, like New York, too.
Yeah.
New York is interesting because you can be, also you get, there's cities where people are like huge fans of yours, but they're very reserved in how they express
right,
it.
Right.
Right. And then you go to like rural Indiana.
Yeah.
And it's like people react to you like you are Steven Tyler.
Right.
Or Phil Collins.
They
right?
can't believe it.
They can't believe that you're in a small, small town.
Right.
New York, Seattle, Chicago, LA. People are just like, what's up, man?
Yeah.
Big fan. It's always pretty
keep
cool.
Keep it moving.
Yeah. Keep it moving.
Do you want, are you going to do MSG? Is that like a goal for you, or you don't care about stuff like that? Like,
no, I think it would probably be on the next tour. Yeah.
Like you, because for me in comedy, I only ever had two goals doing this, and they've been the same since I started in 2010. Get a sitcom on the air about my father,
yeah,
like, you know, my father and I's relationship, or just my father, like either playing my father or something about my
yeah,
father, because we used to watch Everybody Loves Raymond together, and I was like, I want to do that. I want to be like Everybody Loves Raymond, but like my style with my dad, like that's what I want. And then the second goal is MSG.
Yeah.
That's the only things that I've wanted to do. And like, it's very, very, very like laser focused on that. Like, I don't care if I sell, you know, 100 tickets in one city, but I'm adding shows in New York. Like, for me, it's like, doesn't matter. It's like, just get to New York, get to MSG. That's what it is. So that's why, like, with this Radio City thing,
yeah,
like I'm, you know, well, this is coming out in a couple of weeks, but today, like, it's been on sale for a week. It holds 5,800. I got like 4,500 tickets sold already. So it's like moving, right?
It's moving, dude.
And but now, what? Here's the human mind, right? Here's what happens: is I'm so excited about that, but now my agent's like, maybe we add one.
It's always how it is,
and so, which is beautiful. But now it's like pressure again. Now it's like, because he goes, well, if you add one, if you add a show and you sell that out. Well, now the people at MSG are like, huh, this guy can move serious tickets in New York. Maybe yeah, he can do MSG in 2 years. And you start to get like that.
Yeah.
And then, but you have to, I have to remind myself very quickly, like, the goal, the fact that Radio City even went on sale should be enough for you to take
it's
pause
sickness.
And accept and be grateful.
We all have it. You should know that. We all have that same
sickness.
It doesn't
go away.
It doesn't go away. And yeah, I you know, would like to do that on the next tour, to do MSG right. and a couple other places that we can do it. But I will tell you this about adding. I mean, if you announced it very recently and you're like, you're almost sold out, you can do it. But it takes me back to, I remember I was talking about this very same thing with CK, with Louis.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said to me, he goes, you know what the best thing that someone that can say about you after you've
yeah.
left the city and your show?
Yeah.
I couldn't get tickets.
Couldn't get tickets, yeah.
And there is something in that, too.
Right.
That this sells out. Well, it's going to sell out. And then everyone's like, what? And then whatever you do next time, it's that much more.
Bigger. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I always hated the thing, too, of like, well, what if we add the show and we sell 4,300 tickets? Like, to me, I'm like, that fucking sucks.
Yeah. Then it's not sold out and I shouldn't have done it. Yeah, I know. And then, you know, even my family, like Jazz and my dad was like, you know, when I brought it up to him, he's like, yeah, he's like, but we're all coming in. The show's at 7 o'clock. We're going to do an after party. We'll have dinner. Like, if you add a show, then it's like, we're not staying out till midnight.
That's true.
He's like, you know, this is bigger than, he was like, you know, my dad's whole thing was like, if you're going to get to the garden, you're going to get to the garden when it happens.
That's also true.
He was like, you know, you're going to bring your daughters, you're going to have your family there. Like, why don't you just sell it out, God willing, sell it out, and then have a nice after party. We'll have a great night and it'll be a great memory.
I think that's good. But I mean, obviously do whatever.
Well, I was like, Dad, I would do that, but I need money to buy new glasses.
Yeah, these glasses are not
fucking
cheap.
Dude, are you kidding
me?
You know, I got to get more watches.
Yeah, dude, you got the fucking
sick.
That is like, you leapfrogged people with that.
I literally, when I did it, because you know, Andrew Santino, the great Andrew Santino, I was like, I want to get a watch.
Yeah.
And then we were talking and, you know, because I knew a little bit about the world, not as much as him. Well, Andrew's like, I know you guys watches, Rogan watches, but he was like, dude, he was like, what about this one? And then he sent me a link to this. And then I saw the price. I was like, but it's that much money. He was like, I know. He was like, dude, just fucking do it. And he was like whispering through the phone. He was in Australia. He was like, just do it.
So you just got it.
Oh, yeah. I got it too. Let me tell you something.
Hand it over.
I got this thing 2 weeks ago, and the glasses 2 weeks ago, they haven't come off. 14 days. What do you think of that? Sweet?
Beautiful.
You like that?
Yeah. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
You go to an AP place to get it?
Yep. Shout out my guy, Yanni, Material Goods, New York City.
New York City.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful piece, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep it.
These are, thanks, man. You know, I've always been a big fan.
What kind of watches do you have?
I have a Royal Oak.
Something like this.
It's different, but yeah.
It's got more of the...
Complications,
right?
Yeah. No, I think that's fantastic.
This is what
an
idiot I am. I still like, I'm like, how do I put it on
and
take it off?
No, that always happens.
I know, because
I didn't know Santino was that into them.
No, Santino's big. And you know what I like about a watch like this is, first of all, like, honestly, like, I know it's just, you know, some people are like... one member of my family's like, it's a fucking douche thing to do.
I was like,
you know what, man? It made me feel proud of what I've done in my career.
That's all that matters.
It made me, you know what it took me back? Yeah, I remember being on the elliptical at Force Fitness in Ridgewood, Queens in 2010, thinking about, do I want to do comedy? Am I too much of a pussy? And I remember just fucking working it stepmom on the elliptical and saying, if you're going to do comedy, Chris, I remember it was August of 2010. You need to do it right now. You need to finish. You need to hit your cardio goal on this elliptical, this fucking aerobics class, and then get off, go back to your mom's house where you live, take a shower, and go find any open mic.
Yeah.
And that's what I did in that moment. I went to the Creek in the Cave in Long Island City, Queens, open mic. Shout out Rebecca Trent. And I did an open mic there at 5 p.m., and bombed horrifically, horrible. But I said, you know what? You did it. And I was like, that's it. This is what I'm doing. And it took, when I got this watch, it took me back to then. I was like, dude, you fucking.
All that matters is how you, this goes back to like staying off of social media. It doesn't matter what anybody says. It matters how you feel about it, what it means to you. That's the only thing that matters.
It's one of those things where it's like, even talking to like, you know, my accountant, when I, you know, I run everything by him. You know, I'm very nervous. I, you know, running a whole family. So I'm like, he was like, listen. He was like, first of all, I fucking like it, dude. He goes, I like Chrissy glasses. He was like, this guy has a good time. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, the beautiful thing about a watch like that, it appreciates. you didn't really, you spent the money and you didn't. Yeah. He was like, so you have, this is an asset. You did not buy a depreciating asset. You bought an appreciating asset. We stay in that lane. And he said the same thing you did. He was like, if you like it, then just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it. And don't feel bad for you being in a place to do these things. Because I think sometimes what happens is like my family member, who's a good guy, but he's a little bit down on his luck right now, which we've all been. And he thinks like me having success takes it from him. And
of course,
buddy, it has nothing to do with you.
It's that famine mentality.
Yeah.
Of like it's gone. Like you have it. And then that somehow is an effect on him, which of course it has nothing to do with him at all.
Yeah. I'm like, also, dude, like we're a family. So like if one of us is doing a little bit better, I understand shit is fleeting. And maybe 5 years from now, you're the one here and I'll help you. Like I'm not going to get you a watch, but I'll, you know.
Not going to give you this one.
Yeah.
That's
you're
for
not gonna,
fucking
no,
sure.
You, fucking
you know why
dumb.
I'm Tommy Barris today? I usually have a watch on.
Yeah.
I'm going to South America and they will fucking rob you.
Yeah, dude.
So I'm not
bringing
a fucking thing.
They will cut your fucking
Tommy
hands
Nubs,
off. Tommy Nubs.
Nothing. No necklace. Dude. No nothing.
South America. So where are we going?
I'm going to Argentina.
Then Nazis. A lot of Nazis there.
That's what I'm opening with.
Woo!
And then Chile.
You're going like south of the equator.
Oh, yeah. And then I'm doing Lima. Visit some folks. And then Mexico City.
Wow.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
It'll be fun.
We, well,
no jewelry.
Yeah, no. No jewelry. And my Patreon will pay your ransom for your kidnapping.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Yeah. I got armed fucking guards.
Are you going just you or bringing the family?
No, just me. Just me and like 16 bodyguards.
That's all you need.
Got guys on the back of a truck with a fucking machine gun.
Yeah.
Swinging around like that.
Are you going to do the shows in Spanish?
No, I'll do English shows, but just do like a couple bits in Spanish.
Right. No, stuff like that is very cool because like you're actually, I know that they have comedy there, but like when somebody like you goes down there, it like brings comedy awareness down there and then opens up the gate in years to come for like people like me.
That's
like
awesome.
Is awesome.
Yeah. I know people have done it. I know Gaffigan's been down there. I know a couple other people have done some gigs. So I'm excited.
That must have been a wild sight for people in Peru to see white Jim Gaffigan walking in like just a god. Milk god.
Another thing I had to bring up, because you talked, it would be hilarious if you killed yourself later today.
Yeah, it's possible.
But this was again on Instagram. I watched the whole thing. You talked about you witnessed an attempted suey wooey off of like two guys. This is real?
Dude, the suey wooey, which is what we call suicide. We make it fun in my house. Dude. Dude,
was this in your building?
This was in my friend's building. So I had two friends, Frank and Johnny. Frank's a great comic back home. And listen, gay guys, they have a good time.
Yeah. Well,
everybody knows, like, gay guys, they have fun. They're doing meth. They do like that thing. Like, the gay guys, if you go out with a group of gay guys,
it's a good time.
They really hit it hard, and it's a beautiful, it really is like a beautiful thing, right?
Bert and I one time went out when we were, this is like more than 12 years ago. We were working out at this place in West Hollywood, and our like instructor was gay.
Yeah.
And he was great. And one night he was like, "You guys want to come out?" And we went out with him in West Hollywood to like all the huge gay bars. And it was a blast. It was super fun.
Yeah. No, I swear to Christ, I went out one night with TT Jerry, just Jerry and I. And Jerry was like, "Let's have some fun." You know, I told Jerry, "I'd take him out on Night of Town." And I went out with a gay transgender man. And I woke up in the backyard, full backyard, sleeping at the bottom of my kid's slide. I had no idea how I got there. I just woke
Holy
up
shit.
Because we just went crazy. And he's probably spiked my drink and whatever it is, we had a good time. But let me tell you about Frank and Johnny, okay? Real story. This, I put it out there. And what I'm about to tell you is true.
This is true.
This is not fabricated for the stage. I sat there and I witnessed it. And I genuinely, I swear to God, I was like, did I die? Am I on ayahuasca? What just happened? So, after shows, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, it's New York City. My friend Frank goes, "You want to come over back to our place, you know, keep drinking, whatever." This was at a time when me and Jasmine were co-parenting. So we weren't together at that time. So I didn't have to be home. My daughter just had one kid at that time, was with her mom. I was just going to go back and, you know, sit and jerk off in my apartment anyway. Yeah. So I was like, might as well go hang out with these gay guys.
Yeah.
So, and get jerked off. So I said, all right, I'll go. So we're going, we're in the cab going, and I could, they're pretty hammered, right? Yeah. And I'm like, whatever, it's just fun. And I'm buzzed too.
Do they try to turn you at any point?
Never. Never. Never, not once. Truly, truly never. Frank told me that he knows for sure I'm not gay, even though I would ask him, like, I feel like I could be gay. He was like, no, you're not gay. He's like, because I, you know, you play around, you want to suck dick, whatever, as long as it's in my fasting window, like whatever jokes you do. He said, but then you also have body dysmorphia. Like you also are like, you know, like you're a little bit like, he was like, you know, like you're like this bigger guy, but like you think that like you're not and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, like you're like embarrassed about like your nipples and all that. He said, gay guys wouldn't do that. Gay guys are like proud to be gay, proud of their bodies. He was like, it's straight guys that you're a little bit like.
That's 100. I just learned that I'm straight. Yeah. Because I'm the same way.
And it kind of clicked because I was like, because you would think it's the opposite. But he's like, no, gay guys are like, you know, how many gay, they'll take their shirt off, you know, Sam Smith, whatever. Because gay is just like sex, body positivity. Yeah. Straight guys are like, no, my nipples.
Yeah, I don't feel proud about how I look on it. Yeah.
You're very insecure. So I was like, okay. So we're going, they're drinking. And then Frank, and because I went to their house a couple of times over the years for their Super Bowl party. They always throw a good Super Bowl party. And Frank makes this like really good ranch dip. Yeah. It's like homemade ranch dip. Who knows what's in it? I know you guys are like, probably come, maybe.
Yeah.
If it is, it is. It's good.
It's still delicious.
Delicious. And I said, you know, buzzed. I wasn't intermittent fasting back then, so I was just fucking a free-for-all with
eating.
Free-for-all. So he said, I'll make the ranch dip. I was like, I'm in. Let's go. So go having a good time. And Frank and Johnny were arguing a little bit. They were just there a little bit like...
Is Johnny out with you to begin or just when you get home?
Johnny's with us the whole time. Okay. Johnny's Frank's partner, but he's not a comic. And Johnny is more flamboyantly gay.
Right.
Like Johnny is like 100% like Nadav gay.
Yeah.
Like gay, super gay, gay. Like gay, you know it as soon as you see it. You were like, that guy's got cum dripping out of his ass. Yeah. So high level gay.
Just sent him back to the fucking tables. He just threw down a couple of...
Where Frank... You would never know Frank was gay. Like, Frank is like no clue. Like, he's like, oh, shit, you're gay. No idea until we were friends for like 2-3 years. And he's like, oh, this is my partner, Johnny. Yeah. I was like, what?
What? Your business
what
partner?
What the hell? Yeah, like, I thought, I didn't know you guys were, that's why you would always like fucking rub my leg on the road and shit. Yeah. Like, just slowly massage my balls. I thought it was because we were boys and you said you were like into, you know, healing. So So we get to their apartment. By the way, beautiful apartment they have.
They always have the best decor.
Beautiful decor, but then his partner does very well, like, you know, restaurateur kind of guy. Very well, good stuff. And beautiful layout, gorgeous, you know, like you said, great pillows. Gays are good with pillows. And so we go. Frank starts making the dip, having a good time. And like Johnny's like, you know, again, he's just mad. He's like, you know... Whatever, Frank. Like, you hear shit like that in the kitchen. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. Drama. So Frank brings out the dip. And I mean, this is like a hell of a batch. Like, he had, you know, toasted warm pita, the ranch dip. He gave me like a Bud Light seltzer.
And you'd been drinking already.
I've been drinking already. So we're eating this dip. And it's so good. It's like warm. The bread's warm. I'm like, this is literally heaven. Like, give me your cock. Yeah. Put it in my mouth. I want it in my mouth for the rest of the night. Like, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
And so it was awesome. And the arguing picks up a bit. Because again, it's just like, imagine like, you know, you're drunk with your wife. Like you start and it's the same shit. But now it's two guys.
Yeah.
So it's like, it gets, the octane goes up in a gay fight very quickly. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Because it's two men fighting at the end of the day. Big egos, all that. So Johnny says to Frank, you know, they're mumbling shit. And then Johnny, out of nowhere, Johnny goes, I know you're cheating on me, motherfucker. Like that, motherfucker. And then Frank's like, shut up, Johnny. No, I'm not. He goes, I have the proof. I know you're cheating on me, motherfucker. I have the proof. He's like singing it. I was like, oh my God. I was like, listen.
And you're just watching this?
I'm like- just watching this. And I'm saying to myself, I've been, you know, in a relationship with a Puerto Rican girl for close to 10 years. They have the proof. So if they're saying you need to cop to it now, that the only way is to say, I fucked up.
Yeah, yeah.
I fucked up. I was in Tuscaloosa. There's nothing to do. And I ate some farmer's ass. I'm sorry. So it happens. You know, just own up to it. You know, they'll go to bed. And but if you keep lying, this is where it gets bad.
Yeah.
And then Frank goes, no, I didn't. And Johnny goes, I have the text. Do you want me to read them? And then Frank, I guess, makes this split decision to say, I'm caught. I'm fully caught. Chris is here.
Yeah.
There's no way out of this unless I just drop a nuke.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what his split second decision
sure.
was.
And again, what am I going to do?
Keep in mind, we're on the 38th floor of a beautiful, like, luxury Manhattan building. They have the door open, the balcony out there, you know.
Sure.
Beautiful.
Options are cop to it or drop a bomb.
Dropping.
That's it.
That's the only yeah. options right here. So Frank decides, option two, I'll drop a bomb. And Frank says to him, I swear to God, I'm like watching this. Like I'm eating the ranch.
Like,
I'm
the
sucking it off the pita. It's great. Dude, I literally was amazing. So Frank says, you know what, Johnny? I am cheating on you. And guess what? I also gave you AIDS. So that was the first time all night that I stopped eating. Because I said, whoa, wait, hold on. Wait a second. I did not know that anybody here had AIDS.
Right.
Supportive of whatever you guys need from me. I want to just, Frank, did you wash your hands before you started making this dip? Because you've been slicing up limes. Were there any small cuts? Like, I don't know if AIDS gets killed in the gastrointestinal system. Like, I can't necessarily come home with AIDS because Jasmine's not going to believe that I got it from you. She's going to think that I got it from that girl in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
So he goes, so I'm like stunned, right? The whole thing changes. Now, obviously, that's a moment. That's a moment. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, am I drunk? Are we on drugs? What's happening? So then Johnny goes, that's real fucking nice, Frank. Real great, motherfucker. You gave me AIDS? And then I was like, what is my night right now? People are screaming, you gave me AIDS. I don't know what's happening, okay? So a couple of moments go by, and Johnny just starts pacing. Just starts pacing, and then Frank is just kind of like looking at him, like I saw a part of Frank, like Frank turned into a guy, like a real guy, like what, motherfucker, like you want to fight me about it? Like it wasn't like a dainty gay man, it was like something came over, like I'm fucking locked in on you now, like say something stupid. So I'm thinking they're going to get into like an actual fist fight. And so I'm kind of standing up, you know, wanted to protect my friends. I know it's dry. I was going to say, like, Frank, let's get out of here. Like, stay with me, whatever. Like, I'm like going to witness like a real domestic dispute here. So Johnny, with that, says, you know what, Frank, Chris, this is great. What a great night. What a great night we've all had because of you, Frank. Great night that we've all had. He goes, I bid you both a farewell. Walks towards the balcony, steps up onto the balcony on the 38th floor, jumps off. Hand to God, jumps off. Frozen in time. I'm Elsa, frozen. I literally don't know what to do. Frank doesn't know what to do.
You guys are both standing there.
Panicked. Like, when something like that happens, when someone, you witness a suey-wooey, when that happens, there's no playbook. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can say. It just, you're frozen. So it felt like a lifetime. Like, truly, like, just standing there in panic. It must have been an actual time. 2 seconds less, because all of a sudden you hear, fuck, I think I broke my legs. We run over. He landed on the 36th floor, because what happened was is they had a short balcony. The 36th floor, this guy had like a jumbo apartment.
Sticks
balcony
out.
Stuck out, like he had like 1,000 square foot balcony. So he landed there. So I run over and I see him. I see him like laying, like his leg is bleeding. Like he has a compound fracture. Bone stuck through the leg. Like literally, he had a Tom Segura fracture. So he literally, bone out, bleeding out of the leg. So it's like crazy. So the man from the 36th floor heard a loud thud, turns on the light and runs out. Like runs out to see. I don't know if they knew each other, but like runs out to see. And again, because just all in the moment, I swear to God, I yelled down from the 38th floor. I said, be careful, he has AIDS. So don't touch his leg, it's bleeding. So Frank runs down, right? I call 911. Because I have to.
I
have to.
This is one of those moments.
I have to. I felt like a bit of a rat, like ratting on my friends, but it wasn't even that. I was like, I need to get this guy assistance. I can't be caught in all this. Like, nobody should even know that I'm here. I'm going to anonymously call 911 and leave. So I call 911, tell them the address, whatever, come. With that, Frank comes running back up the stairs. He goes, Johnny's down there. He's like in a lot of pain. He goes, I gotta look for like a tourniquet or something. I was like, all right, Frank, I call 911. They're on the way. I'm going to go. He goes, you can't leave. I need you, Chris, please. He's like, I need you. I need you here for like support. I need you. I was like, all right, well, like, what do you want me to do? He's like, just help me find something for like a tourniquet. And this is New York City, like whatever it was, maybe 3-4 years ago. This is when the cops would come. This is like, you know, this before Bill de Blasio ruined our city.
Yeah.
This is when the cops would show up. So they must have been on a call, like maybe like even in the building, because dude, they showed up. EMTs showed up to the 38th floor, maybe within 90 seconds.
Really?
Okay. Now this is where it gets unbelievable, but this is where it's as true can be. And this is, this is a 100% true fact. I couldn't believe when this was happening. I was like, I thought I was in a sketch. At this point, I thought maybe I did get SNL.
Yeah.
Maybe I did get it and I've just forgot.
Yeah.
So, you know, EMTs ring the bell, you know, hear 911. I want to be anonymous here. I'm in an apartment at 3:30 in the morning with two gay men. This is not a good look, you know, support the gay community, but it's like, I don't need this.
Yeah.
So I open the door to let the EMT in. It's my first cousin, Mark. On my father's side.
Your first cousin.
My father's brother's son, Mark. My first cousin, primo. First blood relative who is an EMT in New York City. He's the one that shows up to the call. I don't want anyone to know I'm there. It is my first cousin who I've known my whole life. Was at his birthday party 6 months before. My dad, he opens the door and I opened the door and I was like, Mark? He was like, Chris? And he sees Frank sweating. You know, like just dripping in sweat. He hears his queen husband 20 feet below screaming that his leg's broken. I have ranch dip, which looks like cum all over my lips. And I swear to Christ, Mark's, I swear to Christ, the first thing he said to me, he goes, I'm not going to tell your father. And I was like, yeah, but it's not what you think it is. He was like, all this is safe with me.
Yeah.
We're here on a medical. This is business. This is a medical call. Take me to the victim.
You do whatever you want to do in your off time.
Dude, he goes, it's patient confidentiality. Your father will never know. I was like, dude, I'm not gay. I'm here. They're my friends. And then he goes, whatever, dude, just get me to the, I need to help the guy. So we go down there, help. I go down there with them to the ambulance, whatever. They're loading him into the ambulance, you know, big air cast on his leg, fucking stretcher. As they're loading Johnny in, you know, I'm there with Frank. I'm not going to go with him to the hospital, but I'm there. Frank says to Johnny, he goes, honey, you know, I was kidding. I don't have AIDS. And then Johnny goes, I know. She goes, I know. We got excited. I said, whoa, what do you mean, you know? I said, Frank's like, sometimes we get crazy when we fight. I was like, he just did a backflip off a Manhattan high rise. What are you talking about? He goes, this is how we get. We just get crazy. This is like a normal fight. So then I find out that he's, for fun, jumped from the 38th to the 36th floor multiple times.
What?
Summer, like they've done that, they do meth, that's what they do. Multiple times when that man hasn't been home, they've jumped down, then went, you know, gotten back up, like they've done that.
I bid you both farewell.
I bid you both a farewell. So he knew that, I did not know that, but he knew. And the thing is with like a gay fight like that, is that happens like crazy level of fighting.
Yeah.
They were in Turks and Caicos a week later, rehabbing his leg. 2 weeks later, they're in Turks. Like nothing ever happened. When meanwhile, you know, like with Jazz and, you know, Puerto Rican girl, it's like, I remember one time I accidentally liked one of her sister's bathing suit pics on Instagram. And I woke up with a knife in my sternum.
Seriously?
Yeah. She was not fucking around.
You had like, scrolled and hit it?
Yeah, I hit it. It was a full accident.
You ever scroll and hit follow and go, I don't want to follow, and then hit unfollow?
Yeah, and then it looks even worse.
Wait, and then the person, I've had a person notice.
Yeah.
They go, did you just follow me and unfollow me? And I'm like, yeah, I was just a thumb thing. I didn't really want to follow you.
I didn't really. Yeah, I have. And so that literally, that story, because people, you know, I've told that on stage. I think I put it in a special or online or something. And oh no, I put it on my album, Chrissy New York Comedy Club, which is out now. And and people like that didn't happen. And I'm telling you, Tom, it happened.
It's one of the craziest
all through
stories.
Mark, it, all up to Mark, it happened.
And does Mark know? Has Mark heard you tell the story?
The only thing I've changed is Mark's name. It's his name is not Mark.
Yeah,
but because I just don't, you know.
But has he heard the story told?
Oh yeah. He was like, dude, it's fucking crazy. He was like, I know you were gay since you're five. I'm like, I'm not gay. He's still, but my whole family's like, you're gay. but my dad's a kind of old school guy. They think my dad thought I was gay because I loved blueberries when I was a kid. Like, yeah, it's that my dad's old
kids
school guy.
Blueberries. Kids gay.
Like I had a stiff neck. I it's just getting better now, but I took my kids to Disney and I had a stiff neck and you know, you get a stiff neck. Like I was holding my kids all day and very logical explanation. Why? No reason to say anything.
Yeah.
I have stiff neck, no problem. My father wasn't with us. It was just me, Jazz, and the kids. And my dad called to check in. He was like, whoa, what's up, Chrissy? How's Disney? I was like, ah, it's good. You know, it's having fun. I just got this stiff neck. He was like, whoa, are you blowing Goofy? I was like, what? And he was on speaker. So I was like, now the kids are like, what? Jasmine's looking at me like, your dad. Yeah. That's just how he is. My dad. Yeah. Yeah. Even these, the first thing I get these glasses.
I got to tell you, I think the most remarkable thing that I've heard this whole time talking to you is just that Tampa Tony was willing to do intermittent fasting.
I
feel like an old school guy would be like, I'm not going to fucking eat in a window at time.
Yeah.
But he actually is doing it.
He's doing it because he's kind of like, it's, you know, he saw the results I was getting. And then, you know, my stepmom is also doing it. And she's like great at like keeping him, you know, on time. And, so he's like, you know, doing it and you know, but whatever, dude. And it's one of those things, like, you know, he's got the gay jokes. He's like, yeah, I just can't eat cum after midnight. Like things. We're like, shut up. And you can, it's protein.
And he's doing a 16 hour fast.
He's sticking to the 16 hours, which, and you know, it's crazy. Like, you know, he's a diabetic, you know, all those things. But I just said, dad, like, he's on all these medicines. I was like, just do it. And his blood sugar, he said, is still like over, it's still in the diabetic range, but he's dropped like 60 points on his blood sugar.
Wow.
Like for
and
me.
And lost how much weight?
He's lost 45 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And he said, he was like, I want to stop at 45 because that's my favorite president. I was like, okay.
Nice.
Nice, dad. And so.
I was at the Daytona 500. And, I saw these dudes that had shirts that said 45 and it was in the American flag color. And then underneath it, 47. So he's going to be...
Yeah, that's it. He's coming back.
Yeah.
I feel like, you're going to start to
that
see...
That was a very...
Yeah. Oh, the DeSantis ones too are going to be good.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be very good. Yeah.
Yeah. I have... Like I have a friend who, like, he told me who he voted for by just his new tattoo. He got a tattoo, you know, a couple of years ago, right when Trump was getting elected. He got a tattoo right before Trump got elected. And he was like, look at my new tattoo. And he took his shirt off and it was his back. And it was Jesus Christ with the holes in his hand, with each twin tower going through each hole in his hand. And it just said, New York City, America. I was like, yep, Donald Trump.
that's fucking
Donnie
wild.
T. That's a Donnie. You know what T.T. Jerry told me too? Because he was in prison when the elections were happening. Everybody from the prisoners to the correctional officers, everybody loved Trump.
Really?
Everybody, he said every inmate wanted Donald Trump, black, white, it didn't matter.
Because of his shit talking style?
That's what they like.
Because he's like, fuck you.
Exactly. That's what they like. But I was like, that was interesting. I would think that they wouldn't like that. But yeah, so.
That adds up to me, actually. Because I get that when people, like, when you would talk to people even during his presidency and when it got really heightened and people were like, how much, you know, people hated him so much.
Right.
And then people would be like, I love him. And like, one of the things that made a lot of sense was somebody being like, actually what I like is that he's like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Fuck you. And like, oh, that's what they're embracing. That
but
like,
you know, but it's like,
talk shit about me. Cause he keeps a list, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He remembers the reporters that write articles. Yeah. He's like, I don't want to talk to you next. Like that shit that presidents don't do. And they were like, I like that guy.
I like that guy. Yeah. I know. Now politics, it's kind of sucks that politics have become like a thing. Like, I mean, obviously you can make decision and talk about it, but on comedy, it's just so fucking divisive where now what I do is any type of even on the line political thing I want to say, I just say my dad said it. I just do it. Oh, my dad did this thing, but it's really like, you know, I said it.
Yeah,
I
yeah, was the, yeah.
Yeah. I was the one who stopped at 45 pounds.
Yeah. No, I would take things that I had said and attribute them to my dad too.
Yeah, I did. That's the way to get around it.
Yeah, you got to get around it somehow.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. I mean, I like all white neighborhoods. I mean, I'm sorry. You know, I like knowing who my neighbors are. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Same. That's where my dad lives. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Are you going to go to Tampa anytime soon?
Yeah. I actually am. April 1st.
Oh, you are?
Oh, yeah. Right when this... Yeah. Come see me in Tampa, Tony. We'll be there April 1st at the Tampa Theater.
What's it? Oh, nice, dude.
Yeah. And I'll be here back in Austin. I'm doing Moon Tower. Wednesday, April 14th or 15th at the
April?
Paramount.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
I think I'm the first show of Moon Tower on that Wednesday, and then the next day, San Antonio.
Fucking A, man.
Yeah, I think Paramount's almost sold out though. So
Paramount's great.
Yeah, dude. I know. I've never performed there. I've only ever done the Vulcan in Austin.
Oh, you're gonna
love
it.
So it's great. Yeah, so
it is
great too, because like sometimes like I try to also remain grateful. Like I always wanted, you know, as we're going through this, you know how it is. Like, you know, you start this thing, when you're headlining, you know, no ticket sales, connecting flights, hotels off the side of the highway, and you just, you know, I would go to every city. I'd be like, go to the downtown area and look at the theater and be like, one day manifest it, like one show, do that. And then that happens and you forget about the old you.
Yeah, of course.
And you're like, I'm only 90% sold out. Get all that shit out the window. It's like, I'm very grateful for all the fans that are coming out. So I appreciate everybody coming.
I feel like
coming.
Chrissy Glasses has like this really done a lot of work on his, you know, perspective and his emotional.
Yeah.
IQ, his EQ.
Yes. I've been trying, and it all is the ramblings of a madman. And this is the personality that popped up today for this hour plus of, podcasting was this personality. But make no mistake, this personality who is here is a fraud, is a liar, and will murder the real Chris tonight in his hotel room.
I can't wait to hear about it. It'll do such massive numbers.
It's gonna be great, dude.
I gotta say, if I didn't know you and this guy walked in, I'd be like, look, this guy is either about to rob us or to talk us into some shit that we're gonna sign and really deeply regret.
Yeah, just do it, and then just promise you'll give my family some of percentages of the Hawaii shirts.
Oh, for sure.
That's what I want.
You got it, dude. Yeah. You got it. Hawaii shirts are on fire.
I love them. I got one.
I want to talk about Hawaii.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for coming.
Thanks
it's always
me.
Fun to see you. Real quick, you can also check out Hey Babe and Chrissy Chaos. Chris's podcast is special, especially Weshy on Netflix. Super Maximum Retro Radio out now on Vice TV. And of course, The Right Intention, Wrong Move Tour. Tickets are at chrisdcomedy.com. Radio City. Music Hall, one of the greatest, most legendary venues in the world. He'll be doing that. Few tickets left. It is going down September 22nd.
And by the time this comes out, we may have added Australia dates. First time in Australia.
The best.
So come if you can. If those are up, go get them.
Down Under is the best. You'll love it.
Love it.
You'll love it. All right. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, babe.
See you guys next time.
Bert and Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave. No scripts, a bit of booze, amateur partology. Dirty jokes, raunchy humor, no apologies. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave.